Hello, everyone, and welcome down to episode 118 of the Down South Photo Show with me, Brendan Waits, here in Ocean Grove, Victoria, Australia, and the guy chortling away on your other screen or in your other ear. If you are listening to the show, it's Cameron Blake in Hobart, Tasmania, Australia. Hello, Cameron.
Hello, Brendan.
Didn't quite roll off the tongue today, did it?
That's okay. Before we start recording, let me just check what episode we're up to.
Yeah.
And you
and
paused.
And then totally forgot.
Yeah. That's okay. You got a bit of a head cold, you said. You're a little bit under the weather, maybe.
Picked up a little head cold on my road trip, which we'll come to shortly.
It's a Radelaide.
It's a Radelaide, yeah. You're
not allowed to call it Radelaide?
According to AFL media, no.
Or the city of churches.
Sorry, South Australia. I think it was Tourism SA said you can't call it the city of churches or Radelaide. Get stuffed. I'll call it what I want.
Exactly. So what do you think every media outlet did? They called it Radelaide and the city of churches.
Exactly right. Thank you for everyone who has liked, followed, and subscribed to the channel. All 780 of you, welcome aboard. Good to have your eyes and ears upon us this splendid day. Cameron, what have you been up to?
I'm looking away. I'm writing up the word of the week. I found a word of the week.
This is how
prepared we are.
This is how professional we are here at the Down South Photo Show.
Yeah. If people actually wanted to rate this as a professional show, I'll give it a one.
Speaking of, while we're here and while I pad for you while you fill out the word of the week.
Yeah.
Last week's episode, how good was the feedback that we received?
I tell you what, you outdid yourself with that topic. That topic took off. And it's all courtesy to you.
It was something that I think has been bugging me for a while. I think I had to air it here on the show. And yeah, the feedback's been fantastic. So we struck a chord with many of you out there. So thank you.
Yeah, we did.
I think we got onto something really important about photography. So if you haven't seen episode 117, there's a card just there. Look, you can click on that and go back and have a look at it.
You, me, and everyone else watching knows there's not a card there.
It's probably not, but that's okay.
What have I been doing? It was a good topic, and it was a very well received. But I have just got back from Bruny Island, been over Bruny Island for a few days with a couple of wonderful customers. A very well-known person to the show was one of the customers.
Absolutely.
And the second person, if they are listening, have just started listening. So, yeah, it was good. We had a good time. We had pretty good weather the whole time. We saw some animals. We saw some great sunrises, sunsets. We ate like kings. We slept comfortable.
You had FaceTime with me when I was in South Australia.
I had FaceTime with you somewhere. Where was that? I was on the way there. I was there.
You were on the boat heading over, I think.
That's right. And I FaceTimed our friend Jamie as well on the last sunrise we had, because I could pretty much see off the other side of the island onto the slightly bigger island where we are now.
Yes.
I could see almost where he was shooting from. He was up on the coast as well. So
right. There you go.
We're exchanging. It was quite funny. Jamie, I'm going to call you out here because you are a bit of a knob sometime. I'm going to call you out. he spoke to me. He goes, oh, my God, it's going off. I said, yeah, it's going off here too. He goes, oh, is it? I said, it's the same sun, mate. That's probably going to go off where it is. If it's going off where you're going off, it's going to go
and
off.
And I can almost see you from here. So.
and he's right back. Oh, yeah. So there you go, Jamie. Just throwing you under the bus. Enjoy. Yeah,
he doesn't listen to the show. It doesn't matter.
Now, you haven't been in Victoria or Tasmania or WA or Queensland. Or where have you been?
So school holidays, great time of the year. And my lovely daughter, who's doing year 12 here in Victoria, her VCE, we decided on a little road trip. And geez, wouldn't you know, it happened to coincide with football, but what a surprise. So we drove across for Gather Round. For those of you who don't know, the AFL played all of its matches in Adelaide this weekend, just gone, which is a brilliant initiative. I mean, I don't think you could find a better location as well. Adelaide is a wonderful city. It has come of age. I was there 25 years ago. It'd be every bit of 25 years ago. And it felt like sort of, you know, a slightly bigger Geelong, or, you know, it felt like a more of a Ballarat or a rural town, you know, or a country town rather than a city.
Yeah.
But in that time, that city has transformed itself. It's absolutely stunning. It's a beautiful city. The facilities that are there, the whole town just felt like a carnival. It was brilliant. The public transport infrastructure in Adelaide I tell you, there's some cities that could take a leaf out of their book. It was flawless, seamless, so the easiest public transport I've ever been on.
Wow.
You don't have a special card or anything. You literally just tap your credit card. I
Yep.
mean,
Yeah.
duh.
Yeah. It's not rocket science.
It's not really, is it? So,
Wow.
yeah,
Okay.
so doing that was fantastic. But of course, we had tickets to the footy, so our public transport was free, which was pretty
Yeah.
amazing.
That's cool.
We stayed at the Adelaide Showgrounds, which is literally right on the edge of the city. So,
Yeah.
yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. We and my beautiful daughter bought herself a van that she's going to convert into a camper.
Yeah.
So,
Hashtag van life.
hashtag van life. And this thing's 4 years older than her. So,
Right.
we thought we'd better give it a good run and give it a bit of a shakedown. So the old plates went on, and we trucked it across. It's about an 8 hour drive, give or take, from here. About 9 hours from Melbourne, eight and a half from here. So, went up through Ararat and Stawell and Horsham and,
Yeah. Border town.
border town, nil,
Nil.
nil border town, and then
Yeah.
across to Tailem, Ben Murray Bridge. All those got and it was fantastic. There was people with footy scarves hanging out of their window, driving all the
Right.
way across Victoria. Everywhere you stopped, there's people having coffee. They're wearing their footy colours. They're talking footy. Everyone was really, really happy, and I don't
Yeah.
think. Go back 20 years ago, if I was a Victorian and went to a footy game at Football Park in Adelaide, I don't think I would have got out of there without a bruise or two.
Yeah.
So, times have
Well,
definitely changed.
I'll have to correct you. There's not everyone's happy. The Fremantle Dockers supporters aren't too happy after the
This is not a football
controversy.
show.
It's not a football show.
No.
I have one serious question without notice about your trip to Adelaide.
Fire.
How much did the South Australian government pay you to promote them?
Yeah, not a
Is that
jot.
because that was the biggest plug for South Australia I've ever
Oh,
heard.
and rightly so. They deserve every bit of the praise that's being heaped upon them because
Right.
it wasn't just the fact that we were there for the footy and like everyone was, but every shop we went into, everyone was friendly and welcoming and happy.
The
And
shops were open.
I know, right? It's a new thing for
You
Adelaide.
sure it was Adelaide you went to?
And Rundle Mall, brilliant. We found a bookshop. Now everyone knows about Dimmick's Books. Go to Dimmick's Books in Rundle Mall. It'll blow your mind. Like the
Right.
best bookshop I've ever seen. And it's in a converted theater. This theater's
Right.
like 100 years old. And my daughter's a big bookhound. So bookworm,
Wow.
I guess they call them. And she was straight in there. And they had a photography section, Cameron.
Did you see
So
any good books in there?
there was lots of good books in there.
Any?
I was looking for one by Mr. Blake, but I couldn't find it.
Nah, there's
Sold
probably.
out, no doubt.
I don't have the best reputation in Adelaide. I do hang a fair bit of crap on
You do give them a bit of grief in
them.
SA. That's true.
I
So,
do. Well,
yeah.
it did look fantastic. We're not a footy show, but I must admit, when we drive over there for our Flinders Rangers workshop, the drive over is a lot of fun. It's not a boring drive. There's lots to see, different landscapes changing.
Definitely.
And then when you come down the Adelaide Hills and you come into Adelaide, it's quite pretty.
It is.
And you go along the North Adelaide, and there's all those beautiful parks and stuff like that. And like we all know how good the Adelaide Oval is. It's probably one of the best ovals in the world, just in sheer beauty. It's just a lovely spot. So
Yeah.
it sounds like you had a ball. And
Yeah, and
how did your team go?
my team got the chocolates, which was great. On we opened Gather Round, the Melbourne Footy Club opened Gather Round, which was great. The night before, Abby and I were lucky enough to jag tickets to AFL 360. So we went in
That's
and
right.
that was kind of cool because I got to see behind the scenes on how on a high-end television production. Mate,
Yeah.
I tell you, we're not that far behind. Like this
Yeah, rightio.
Yeah. So that was
My
pretty cool.
other question without notice is when are
Yes.
we having our new special guest, Aussie Man?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Got to
Did
have
you ask? Surely you asked Aussie Man to come on the show.
a selfie with Aussie Man, which was I'm not going to explain who he is. Some people listening will know exactly who that is.
Right.
But no, we were quite blessed. The tickets that we got were right next to the Melbourne race, and my daughter's a massive Melbourne Football Club fan, so lots of selfies with the players. Got to meet a few of the other celebs there, which was great. Photo with the Melbourne Footy Club president at the end of the game. Bumped into a couple of mates who I didn't know were going to be there,
Yeah, cool.
and we had a couple of spare tickets, so they came down and sat with us. So it just
Beautiful.
worked really well. Yeah,
Yeah.
no, it was great, and we will definitely go back next year.
Right.
Which leads us, without
Into your
further ado,
backgrounds, into your
to our
background.
backgrounds. This
That
is
that's got to be the Barossa Valley, doesn't it?
not the Barossa,
Oh,
close
the
to Barossa,
Clare Valley.
not the Clare Valley. This is
Oh.
at a place called Harndorf,
Oh, yes.
which is at basically the top of the Adelaide Hills. So we cleared out of our accommodation pretty early on the Saturday. So we went on Wednesday and came back Saturday because our game was on the Thursday night. We also went to a game on Friday night, but that's another story. We bailed up through the Adelaide Hills, and I had a feeling that Harndorf would be very pretty at this time of year. And I'd been tipped off by, I think it might've been Cheryl actually tipped me off. Someone tipped me off that Harndorf colors were already starting to change. And it did not disappoint. There was color everywhere. It was brilliant. So in fact, driving into Harndorf, this photo was taken. It's just on the left-hand side, one of the last vineyards before you get into Harndorf. We drove past it, and I said to my daughter, I was driving at the time, I said, sorry, I've got to go back for that photo. So, and I explained to her about, you know, what it's like to be a landscape photographer and see a photo, and it's so hard to pass it up, right? So I've sort of changed a bit of my thinking. It used to be I'd see an awesome sunrise or sunset and I'll be driving like, oh, I'll get it another time. I can't do that anymore.
No, you've got to stop. Yeah.
So pulled a U-turn, came back. It was pretty fresh up there too. It was probably only about 6 degrees when I shook.
It does look a bit chilly in the background.
Fog and mist out of the valley. So quintessential Adelaide Hills at this time of year. So it was awesome. And let me tell you, Harndorf, now there's a town.
Mm, that could be another down south photo show workshop.
Oh, bright in the Adelaide Hills.
There's no doubt
about it. Absolutely stunning. Old, like, I guess they're limestone buildings they have there, or sandstone, limestone.
I think,
And, you know, just the food and the parklands and everything. Yeah, no, fantastic. It was awesome.
Jesus,
so
you're gonna move to South Australia, I reckon?
No.
No.
No, it's half an hour behind everyone else, so.
In time, 30 years in. No, I get there. Very good. Well,
your background, son. What have we got?
What have we got? This is just from my little trip the other day over to the Bruny Island. This is a sunset I was telling you about that Jamie said was popping on his side of the world and may not have been popping on mine, but it was. I don't know why I chose this photo for my background. I just like the waves and I like the color, and it's just a bit more subtle as opposed to like a big blazing sun. But we just had this probably 5-10 minutes of beautiful morning light that popped up over the edge of the Cape, actually over near Tasman Island where we were that time. The sun pretty much almost rose between the gap between the blade and Tasman Island almost perfectly. And it just threw this beautiful light across the water around the neck on Bruny Island. So it's a nice color, nice subtle color, taken with a longer lens. Got a bit of a wave crash in there, but it was a stunning morning. We did really well with our timing. Look how bright I get when you turn back. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's right. I like the little wave that's breaking there because it sort of breaks up that sort of dark area of the image. Yeah.
That's what nice. I sort of went for. But we had really good weather there. We got lucky. Lucky planned. I don't know. We did the boat trip that goes around the bottom of Bruny. We had an almost perfectly smooth day on the water for that with overcast conditions, so it was good for the photos. And then we had a fairly good sunset down at the lighthouse, which is great. And then we had a sunrise this morning to finish off. So we did pretty well. It was good.
Fantastic. Awesome. It sounded like a fantastic little trip that you did.
It is. Bruny Islands are really, it's Tassie compressed, really. You've got really good coastline. You've got really good forest in there. You've got some beautiful sea cliffs to explore. There's some incredible food on there as well. You know, talking about wineries, and they've got a cheese factory, they've got a whiskey factory, they've got an oyster factory, they've got a honey factory and a chocolate factory all on this little island. So it's a really good little getaway from Hobart if you've got, you know, 2 days or something. You can do it quite easily. But it's one of those ones, though, I do struggle to sell it out. Like, I don't get too many people on this one. And I'm not sure why, because the photos we get from there are just stunning. But maybe it's a little bit too small for people. I don't know. But it's a good spot.
Question without notice. How big is Bruny Island?
Bruny Island is about 100 kilometres top to bottom, I think. And maybe, I think its widest point would probably be about 10, 20 kilometres. It's not...
It's probably bigger than people think as well. Yeah. And I think Bruny Island is one of those things... I don't think people quite understand the lay of the land. And I know it took me a while to sort of work it out. If you look at a map of Tasmania, I don't think you realise that it's an island. For one, it looks like a peninsula. Yeah,
so. You think it's a peninsula, but it's not. And then on the map as well, if you don't zoom in too much, or if you zoom in too much, you'll see that it's got a really small isthmus, like a really small neck that joins the north and south part of the island together. So, it's a little bit underestimated and definitely undervisited. But without sounding rude, that the Chinese visitors know about it. Like there's busloads of them go down there on the weekends, but during the week you sort of have the place to yourself. So yeah, it's pretty cool. So
Yeah, awesome. Well, it's 362 square kilometers of goodness, apparently. So it's not small.
No, it's not. It's not a small island. Yeah, it's like I said, it's 100 Ks, I think, from the top to bottom. It's a 10-minute ferry ride across from Kettering. And you get, you know, you got plenty of accommodation there if you want. Heaps of ideas to do, lots of walking, there's adventures, the whole lot. So it's a good spot. But yeah, we'll probably go again next year. We'll put out some dates for next year and see if we can fill them up. But definitely get yourself to Bruni if you're coming to Tassie.
Well, with that in mind, without wanting to put the end of the show near the start,
Righto.
I'm off to Tasmania in a couple of days' time. In fact, as this goes to air, I'm in Tasmania,
No, you're not.
and
Are
which
you?
is my third trip to Tasmania in 12 months. I'm very proud to say. So
No. You're not meant to be
I'm
down here till next week, eh?
almost becoming a local.
Oh yeah, you might find a little lump starting to grow out the side of you. Yeah, no, you are coming down. We
am.
have a workshop coming up, don't we? It's going to
Oh.
be you're chomping at the bit.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing the Tarkine. I've never been there, so
Yeah.
that's going to be really cool. Looking forward to that. Going back to Cradle and actually maybe even seeing Cradle Mountain this time.
Probably not.
Yeah, it's me. So no,
Yeah.
nah. Sorry for everyone on the trip, but you ain't seeing Cradle Mountain because I'm going to be there. So.
You know what? I reckon there's a chance we might see it, but maybe not in its entirety. We might see a peak or two, but
Yes.
you never
Yes.
know. It's a good spot, but yeah, you'll have a good time.
Well, going by the weather at this time of year, we could get snow. Who knows?
Well, it actually snowed up in Mount Field here last night.
Well,
So,
there you go. Yeah, it was actually quite cool down in Victoria today too. So,
Yeah, right.
well, up here in Victoria, I should say. Cam, we've got a little bit of homework to do.
Yes.
Gee, we have waffled on this episode. This is
This is going to be a long
20 minutes
one.
of waffling before we even get to anything. We had our comp for March, which was Blue Hour.
It was Blue Hour.
Yeah, and the entries came flooding in thick and fast. We have a winner.
Yes, I'm going to let you make the big drum roll announcement.
Well, the winner this month gets a $100 gift voucher from Ocean Grove Camera and Photo, which is my little business that I run here in Ocean Grove. I ever mentioned that before on the show?
Didn't know. I didn't know you ran a camera shop.
I know, right? Not many
Huh.
people do. God damn
And you're
it.
still able to travel and do stuff. How do you afford that?
I don't know. I don't know how I make ends meet sometimes, Cam, because I still run a camera shop and it's 2024.
Yep, you and me both. I sit there looking at the workshops I'm doing, like, God, I've got to pay for this, 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 this. And I'm like,
Yeah,
have I got enough money in this, 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 this? It's
that's right.
a nightmare.
Keeping
Anyway.
all the plates spinning, Cam. I know all about it.
Yeah. So someone won, did they?
They did. And the photo is on the screen there. And that photo was taken by Laura Munsey. Yay, give it
Yeah.
up for Laura.
What's that little issue? We need a little
Now, we
party thing.
haven't contacted Laura beforehand, so we don't actually know where this photo was taken, but I'm hedging my bets towards New Zealand. It does look a bit New
New Zealand.
Zealandish. It could even be Queenstown. That looks sort of like the Remarkables in the background, but it could bloody well be Norway. I don't know. But it
It's
and
definitely not a. I don't think it's
I
Australia. I don't think it's Australia either. No.
don't think it's Australia.
No.
I reckon it's New Zealand. And it's a cracker.
It's a lovely shot.
And it's a good use of Blue Hour because you can see the blue in the sky, the subtle colors. It's not as contrasty as it would be if the sun was, directly on those mountains.
Yep.
The blue sky reflecting off the water there. It's a ripper. No,
That is
really,
a river.
really cool shot. It appealed amongst a plethora of fantastic images.
Well, I was just about to say that this has probably been the hardest one we've done. There was, I reckon there you could have thrown a dart at about a dozen of them. They all could have probably got up there and won. It was quite
Definitely.
impressive. It sort of makes me think that maybe I need to improve my blue hour photography a little bit.
Yeah.
Or get taught by these people instead.
Well, that's right. And I'm a bandit for it. Like, sun goes down, I'll pack up and
Yeah.
I'm out of there. I want to go home.
Yeah, yeah,
But
yeah.
there's a lot to be said for banging her on the tripod and
Yeah.
keep on shooting.
Yeah, well done, Laura. Excellent shot. I love it.
Yes, Laura, get in touch with us or we'll be in touch with you and I'll organize a $100 gift voucher for Ocean Grove Camera and Photo. You can put that towards whatever you like. You can buy a new
Yeah.
camera if you want. I don't know if you
So
get one for $100, but
you might get a roll of film, maybe.
maybe one.
Does this mean we now have to put our top 10 up for the public vote?
People's choice,
People's
yes.
choice. So we'll get that done before this comes out on air. So it'll be on the Down
Yes.
South Photo Show Facebook page.
Yes.
Go in there and vote. You can vote for one, or you vote for all of them. Just put a little funny face next to it, a love heart, or whatever.
Yeah.
And the person who gets the most public votes will get a voucher from me, which we'll
Absolutely.
announce in a couple of weeks. Or do we announce it at the end of the month? End of the
At the
month,
end
is
of the
it?
month. So
Yeah. Okay.
you'll have a couple of weeks to vote on that, folks. So that'll be on our Facebook page. So jump on and check it out. Now, speaking of buying cameras and lenses and gear and stuff, our main topic for discussion this evening.
Drum roll. Do you reckon people sort of
I
sit there and go, what are they going to talk about next?
no,
I don't
because they've
know.
already read the, they've seen the thumbnails.
Well, that's all. I reckon we need to make that thumbnail completely vague. Yeah.
Mysterious,
Mysterious.
and then literally no one will watch the show.
Yeah.
Okay, so this has been, this is probably a little bit of a bugbear of mine, and I see it a hell of a lot. People buying cheap accessories for their cameras. It does my head in. So the analogy I always give is you go and buy a Ferrari and then you run regular petrol through it, or you buy cheap Dunlop tires for it, or you know what I mean? Yeah. You're buying this amazing glass, which is expensive, right? Good lenses are expensive. And then you put a $13 UV filter that you bought off Amazon on the front of it. You have just turned that lens into an absolute turd. There's no other way to put it. It's just bizarre to me that people will spend so much money on a camera and a lens and then just, yeah, put a cheap filter on the front of their camera that won't last, will scratch easy, will most importantly give you the worst light properties of anything you've ever seen, will probably give you lens flare.
You might as well put Glad wrap over the
You probably should. It'd be better than bloody,
Yeah.
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 I see it all the time and it annoys me so much. And it does affect the end result, people.
Yeah.
The light, that is the first light, the first thing that the light strikes is that
Yeah.
cheap filter at the end.
That's right. Yeah.
It'll also give you a color cast. I don't care what people tell me, it will. It'll give you some weird colors and stuff.
Oh, unless it's Nissi, because Nissi don't have any color cast on their filters.
Is that right? Are we about to torch another brand?
Mate, if I could torch a brand, they'd be the number one culprit, I reckon. I know a lot of people buy Nissi filters because they have a great advertising budget. But ladies and gentlemen, they're not that good. And I've got a story after this about buying a filter for your camera that doesn't do your camera any well, any better,
Well,
really.
it's not just filters, Cam. So filters is my biggest bugbear because
Right.
we run a lot of workshops, so we see it a lot. And you'll see, again, you'll see a Canon L series lens. It's like a $3,000 lens, and it's got this Arrow filter on the front of it. Actually, Arrow is probably not too bad. They're
Yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
Or it'll have some
Look,
no name.
camera house brand filter.
Oh,
Can I
wasn't
say
gonna
that?
go there.
Oh, I'm gonna go there
But
because
they are pretty, yeah, I mean.
they have their own camera house filters are shit. I'm saying it
Yeah,
now. They are not great filters because they are just cheap and nasty.
they're made to a price. So it's unfortunate that people do this, but again, it's not just filters. Memory cards. People buy cheap memory
Yes.
cards. The amount of knockoff SanDisk memory cards that I see that fail regularly.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
Look, it's been my experience for 20 years that SanDisk are the best at memory cards. And
Yeah.
that hasn't changed. That has not
Quite
changed over that
closely
whole
followed
time.
by probably Lexar, I reckon. They're probably the two top brands. Something else people do as well with memory cards that causes a lot of problems with me. They think, oh, these ones are on special. They're a SanDisk one, but they're a little micro one that goes into the adapter. And you put it in your camera, and half the time they don't work, or they fail, or they have a card fail thing. Buy the proper size memory card for the slot, not the little one inside. Just because it's $10 cheaper, don't do it.
Yeah, because all you're doing is setting yourself up to fail because you've got another set of contact points that can give up.
That's
And
right,
that's what
exactly.
happened. And that's
Yeah.
exactly, I see that quite often as well.
Memory
Tripods,
cards,
Cam.
tripods.
Tripods, my goodness. Like,
Yes.
again, you're risking your $5,000 body and lens
To a
to a.
$20 tripod.
It's incredible. I see it all the time. Oh, but it's so light and it's light. Your thing's going to fall over.
Yes.
It's.
But Brendan, I'm a starting out photographer, and I don't have money to spend $500 on a tripod. If I've bought a $6,000 camera kit, you surely can't expect me to go and spend $500 on a tripod.
Not only do I expect you to, I demand you to, but
Yeah.
of course, go on the secondhand marketplace and find a brand tripod, Manfrotto, Benro, three-legged thing, all these brands that are make fantastic tripods. Mate, I'm gonna say if you jumped on Facebook Marketplace right now, you will find a Manfrotto tripod there for, you know, $150, maybe $200, you know. So, you know, these people that continue to do this, and what was I close?
You're spot on, actually. There's some actually some pretty good ones on there for a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah, there you go. See, and you know, most people buy awesome tripods and they stay in a box under the bed. They don't use them anyway. So, you know, most tripods are probably used 10 times in their life, and I'm probably being generous, to be honest, because people generally give up. So, you know, go and get yourself a high quality tripod so you don't have to burst your budget to do that either. Camera bags that fail, straps that break, you know, harnesses that let go in the middle of a shot. I've seen it all.
My brother just rang me the other day. I actually, Olympus don't listen to this show anyway, so I gave him one of the cameras that they gave me, and he's sort of getting into photography. He's enjoying it, which is great. So but he rang me on Bruny Island the other day. He goes, "How freaking expensive are camera bags?" I'm like, "Well, you're using a $3,000 or $4,000 camera." I said, "You're not just going to buy a Coles supermarket bag and just chuck it in there, are you?" He goes,
No,
"Oh
that's
yeah,
right.
but like one bag was $200." I'm like, "Yeah, but it's going to protect your gear. Like, that's an investment to protect your gear. Like you said, the strap breaks and you break the $30 bag. You're not just breaking the bag; you're breaking the thousands of dollars of camera gear
Yeah,
inside." So,
exactly right. Exactly right.
I don't know why people just don't get that.
While I was here's a callback to earlier in the episode, while I was in Adelaide, I went into Diamonds Camera and Video. On Rundle, just at the end of Rundle Mall there. They had a camera bag in there. It was a backpack. It was beautiful. It was $719. So maybe not, maybe there's good middle ground to be found somewhere.
Well, this is the thing, though, isn't it? Like everyone buys, like it's a, and again, it's a good topic to bring up because everyone goes out and they go and buy, like the first thing they want to do when they get into photography or getting better at it or whatever, the first thing they want to do is go and buy the best money can buy. Regardless if they're at that level, they want to go buy the best of the best of the best. They go and dump thousands of dollars on this camera gear. And then they're like, "Okay, holy shit, I've just spent thousands and thousands of dollars. I can't possibly go and spend another 10% on a bag or and a memory card and a tripod that's going to serve me well." They all, some people go and, like you said, they look for the cheaper deal, thinking that it's going to be a cheap alternative to get them through, where,
Oh, I
like you
think more
said,
importantly, thinking that it's going to be just as good.
or just as good. And they think that's going to work for them. And to the untrained eye, it probably doesn't look too bad. Like some of those cheap filters, people put them on their cameras. They probably don't have a clue when they go back and have a look at the files that they're probably missing some sharpness out of that lens or color out of that lens because they've got that filter on there. So, it's a tricky one. How do we convince people that they need to keep spending the money after the point of sale of the camera? They need to spend money on the good stuff as
Well, it's an
well, I guess.
investment, so you know, and it's the cost of doing business, like the cost of your hobby, I suppose. But it's imperative, you know. But it's the old adage as well: buy cheap, buy twice. You see it all the time, like where you know people will spend bugger all on a polarizing filter, for example, that literally separates when they try and twist the end element. You know, I've literally seen that happen as well.
There's the other
Now,
one
look.
as well where they stack filters together. And the cheap ones, they never undo. Like the cheap ones, I think you pay a premium. That $20 for that filter is not for the glass, it's for the really bad thread that just locks onto the other filter and you can never get it off. It's great.
I had a lady in today with an older model Canon EOS, but the filter on the front was again a cheap brand filter. It might have actually been that brand that Camera House sells that the name escapes me right now. And it was stuck on the front. There was no way I was getting that filter off. And I just told her, I said, "I'm really sorry, but I can't remove that filter without doing damage to your lens." So be careful there. And people are screaming at their TVs and their computer screens and they're asking Cameron, what brand should they go for when it comes to filters?
Well, this is a very, very good question. Are we sponsored by anyone yet? No.
It's a question without notice, is what it is.
We're not sponsored by anyone. I
No, we're
tell you
not.
what, little backstory, like I was going to say, I'm going to pay out on Nissi because I do not like Nissi filters at all. On the weekend, Jenny C, great listener of the show, regular buyer of beer, and she just actually bought herself a new OM1 off me on the weekend as well. She bought my second body that I had left over.
Nice.
So she's very happy. But she had a Nissi circular polarizing filter on the front of her camera.
Okay.
And we were in this forest where there was like lots of skylight coming through on all these ferns, like thousands of ferns in there. And I'm saying, make sure you keep your polarizer on because you'll be able to polarize that light, make it nice and green. And she's twisting this filter. She goes, "It's not doing anything, Cam." I'm like, "Oh, I reckon it might be. Let me have a look." It wasn't. It was not making a single difference to anything in that photo. It was not like not one single change to the polarized light at all. And I've got no idea why. It was. I looked at the filter. I'm like, maybe she's put an ND on something like that or whatever. It was a Nissi circular polarizer CPL, and it was doing absolutely sweet FA to this photo. So
yeah, that's
if I was going to recommend a filter brand, the only filter brand that I've used probably three in my whole life, the one I use more than anything would be Hoya, Hoya. Hoya are an amazing Japanese glass company. They've been doing filters and glass products for eons. The other one that's pretty good was the HNY filter system, which is that adjustable polarizing filter that fits on multiple lenses, and they've got magnetic NDs. They seemed pretty good as well. And the other one that I used was called Earth, URTH.
Yes.
And what they do is they plant trees. Every time you buy a filter, they plant a certain amount of trees from your purchase and stuff. So that's for a good cause. And I found them to be pretty good as well. But if my life depended on a filter, I'd be buying a Hoya filter.
Almost definitely. Yeah, Hoya, number one in my mind.
Hoya, sponsor of DSPS.com.au.
That's right. You know where to find us, Hoya. If you know, if people come into my store and they're looking at a lens or a camera system, and, you know, I do talk to people about filters, and I don't use filters as an add-on to make more money. Like, it's not, no. They're practical. They are useful. They are needed.
What you say there is actually a very, very interesting point, though, because I think that is sometimes how people feel like they're getting a bit ripped off when they buy their camera.
True. It's like, exactly.
Here's my $6,000 camera gear. Oh, by the way, you do need an extra $100 on this filter, and you need $400 for that tripod and a couple hundred bucks for that bag. And they're like, no, I don't. Yeah. Like, there's a filter there. It's $20.
Yeah.
So I think people get a little bit nervous about buying extra because I think they're getting sold down the river, but it's accurate. You need to buy those things.
Yeah. I mean, as a
quality.
And we spent years in the retail game selling cameras, Cam, and you know,
sadly,
it was impressioned on our little brains by higher powers to sell every accessory under the sun.
Because they had all had dollars on $5 for a filter, $10 for a bag.
Yeah. And that side of it is true. Unfortunately, there's some unscrupulous dealers out there that would sell a carry case that is just like, if it got wet, it was like tissue paper, you know, it'd fall apart. Like, but you know, they would buy it for $1 and sell it for $49.
Yeah. I must admit, I always had a problem working where we did with this incentives thing, like trying to sell products that I knew weren't suited to the person that I was trying to sell it to, purely to make myself a bit of commission. My commission sales were minimal. I couldn't do it. But
I've got stories, mate, and we'll share those in the Tarkine.
Yeah. So if you want to hear stories, book the Tarkine.
Yeah, that's right.
So.
Yeah, and I just as I say, in my business, I will sell you the right gear. I don't have brand deals. I'm an independent. I don't care. I mean, no one pays me to sell X amount of anything. So God, I wish they would. But you know, I just say to people, look, you know, everything you've heard about UV filters is true. Mm. Just don't buy a cheap one.
Yeah.
It will protect your lens.
Suggestion without notice.
Yes.
You should do like a special filter deal for the DSPS family.
Sounds good to me. I'll work something out.
Yeah.
Link in description.
Which will never be found.
Something will be there.
Yeah, something will be there. That could be an idea.
Yes, but, no, for sure. Yeah, but I mean, but it's not just the, you know, the UV filter, the ND filter, the polarizer. So when I run my entry-level workshop, for example, you know, I introduce people to polarizers and introduce people to ND filters because they really don't know. And a lot of people don't know exactly what they're good for and what they're useful for and
yeah.
when they should be used, more importantly. How many times, Cam, have you been on a workshop and people have still got a polarizer fitted, but you know it's just completely the wrong conditions for it, or an ND fitted, even worse, you know, and that's, you know, and they're they've just either forgotten to take it off,
and
or
we're doing
told,
and we're doing Astro and it just doesn't seem to work.
That's right. Or being told that they need to have an ND filter, and it's like,
yeah,
but not for those kind of conditions.
Here's a bet. I reckon by the next episode, I reckon we could come back and say on our Tark on the Cradle workshop, we had one of those moments.
Oh no, I have no doubt. But that and that's fine. It's all part of the learning experience.
Yeah, it
for
is
people.
Absolutely.
And that's
that's
what we're there for, people.
Yeah,
particularly
we're not
those of you
people.
Who are currently listening to this episode on a bus. And
oh,
we're sitting right there.
Are you going to hello to everyone on the bus? I'm probably not in the bus. I'm probably in the four-wheel drive behind you having a great old time.
That's right.
We did do that. Actually, I'll tell you a quick story about playing an episode in the bus. Actually, at the Tarkine.
Yes.
I had an episode. I had a tour up there one year, and on the way back from the coast, there was about six or seven people, and four or five of them said, "Oh, let's put on the like on your show." I'm like, "Nah, I don't really want to listen to myself talk. Thanks."
That's right.
They're like, "Oh, come on, it'll pass 40 minutes when we drive back." So I put it on there, and we got back to the hotel. And as I got out of the bus, one of the customers literally like bailed me up behind the back of the bus and said, "If I ever have to listen to that shit again, I will never come. I'll never come on one of your tours again." And I went, "Well, hang on a sec. Like majority ruled. Like majority was saying." He goes, "I don't care. I don't want to ever hear that again." So, good luck to you in the bus.
It's good. It's good to know that we, you know, not everyone's a fan. It's refreshing.
That is refreshing.
You know, that's life, mate. That's, you know,
it is. It's nice having no fans. Hey, photography word of the week. Are we going on to that?
We are. But if you've got any questions about photographic accessories, hit us up. Ask us any advice you like about different brands you might be looking at. You might be, you know, look, you might be on Amazon looking at a deal on some. Someone posted today, I don't know if you saw this, it was on Facebook. It was very, very interesting. Someone posted in an OM users group thing about it starts with R, they're a knockoff brand, they're a cheap brand lens, Rokinon or something like that.
Oh,
I can't remember.
Yeah.
One of these guys. Anyway, they've put up this lens that's a 135mm f2 lens.
Nice.
For micro four thirds for $315.
Must be pretty good.
And I'm looking at it and I'm like, wow, this, and I'm trying to work out, you know, what? And then I realized it's not autofocus. It's a
manual.
Manual.
Full manual,
But
yeah.
Nobody picked up on it. Nobody in the, this is a great lens. No, it'll be great for Astro. It'll be great for, I was like, you do realize it's a manual focus lens, right? Yeah, so that was interesting. You got to be wary. You got to look at all the fine print out there.
The good old Facebook bloody social groups. They're great, aren't they?
Absolutely. Photography word of the week, Cameron.
Yes. I don't know how to say this.
Well, you just put it there, so.
Yeah, okay. Is it Latin?
Can I have a crack?
Yeah, I think it's latification.
Latensification.
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 Latensification. There you go.
Latensification.
All right, let's see you break this one down, smarty pants.
Well, latency would be the first word I would think of. Now, latency normally means a delay. So particularly with computer talk, if something's got latency, it's laggy or a bit slow.
Right.
So could it have anything to do with the syncing of, I don't know, maybe shutter speed, rolling shutter. Maybe the syncing of flash to your shutter speed. Am I even in the ballpark, Cameron?
To be honest, I don't know. what do you call it again? Latensification?
Latensification, I'm calling
Latensification
it.
Is the intensification of a latent photographic image by chemical treatment or exposure to light of low intensity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're actually using chemicals to boost where we would use a slider.
Yes.
In the dark room, you're actually using different chemistry to get more detail out of the image.
That'd be my understanding of it as well.
Wow.
It's a name given to uniformly post-exposing a photographic emulsion, the benefits of lensification are applicable in astrophotography, capturing images of stars.
That makes sense.
So it's long, it's exposing something for a length of time to mix up or get some reaction out of the
Yeah, but
chemicals
after
themselves.
the fact, because you're in the dark room.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, after the fact. Yeah. So
Intensification, folks. You come in to learn, I tell you. That's pretty good.
As soon as I put that word up there, I'm like, that's a good word. And I thought, shit, how do I say that?
How do I say it and what the hell does it mean?
What the hell? It, well, there's a word on here that I can't even, I don't even know what it's. Portmanteau? A portmanteau. Yeah, I'll put it in our notes here. Hang on, folks.
Okay.
You tell me what the hell, how you say this word.
Okay.
There you go. It's just under the word of the week there. Can you see that?
Yeah. Portmanteau.
Portmanteau.
Yeah, no idea. Good Scrabble word.
A portmanteau of latent or intensification is the name given to uniformly post exposing a photographic emulsion. Tell you, it's all science. And if you want to learn more about photography and lose your mind, here's the Focal Encyclopedia of Photography. It's a thick book.
There's a lot going on in that.
There's a hell of a lot going on. There's less going in there than there's in there. I'll tell you right now.
For those of you who didn't nod off during that last segment, dear Cam.
Come on. Hey, did you receive any horror stories at all?
No.
Okay. Good. I've got a horror story.
All right. Can we save it for next week?
It's a very quick one.
Go for it.
So the question is, that's a horror story, but a question without notice.
Okay.
What do you do if one of your customers scratches your door on your brand new car on a workshop? What do you do?
You leave them by the side of the road, I would have thought.
Yeah. No worries, Jenny. Someone will come and pick you up soon.
No worries.
Yep.
Hopefully you've got phone reception still. Dear Cam and Brendan, always gets red if you have a Brendan in there.
What a suck.
Look forward to listening to you guys every week. Well, thank you. Allison from Wheelers Hill. Thank you.
You saw the bit. Good. Excellent. Yep.
Yes. Thank you. I have a question about monitors. I have a MacBook Air laptop and I am getting sick of trying to edit photos and now creating photo books on the laptop screen size and thinking a separate monitor might be an option to plug in. Do you have any tips to look for with monitors or recommendations? As much as I would love a Mac monitor to go with my laptop, my budget doesn't quite stretch that far, and I think I would have a hard time justifying that purchase to my husband, even though he uses three monitors in addition to his laptop for work.
Right.
Thanks heaps, Allison from Wheelers Hill. Thanks, Allison. Awesome question.
Yeah. You know, every day we do this, it's starting to sound more and more like, hey, it's Saturday.
Is it?
Yeah, like, you know, remember they used to read things like Daryl used to read a few questions or something like that?
Yeah.
That's great. Hello, Alison. Nice to hear from you. I think we're seeing Alison somewhere, or I am somewhere soon.
Nice.
So, yeah, I know exactly what she's talking about because those MacBook Air, once you start doing a big chunk of work on those laptops, that little 14-inch or 13-inch or 16-inch screen just gets a bit annoying. Like you can't move things around or put things on different screens. So having a bigger monitor is definitely good. I did the same thing. I've got what I'm using here. I've got a MacBook 27 inch screen, I think it is. And that's great. And then I've also got another BenQ is the one I use, a BenQ monitor. So if I was going to look at getting a second monitor, again, Apple are way too expensive. Like you're talking thousands of dollars for a monitor. I'd be looking at either the BenQ. BenQ seemed to be a good middle range price sort of monitors.
Definitely.
And the other one is the brand. I'm trying to think of the brand. You might know it. They're quite popular. What are they called? ISO?
EIZO?
Yeah, EIZO.
Not the cheapest monitors getting around, though.
They're not the cheapest monitors getting around, but they are very, very good for photographic and digital stuff.
They are.
But the one I've got, the BenQ 27-inch one, there's a BenQ photo, there's a whole range of photography monitors that BenQ do, B-E-N-Q. They are practically based on those other EIZO monitors. So for about half the price. That'd be my advice is go have a look at those ones.
Yeah.
You might have a bit more of an idea with where you're from and monitors and stuff. So
it's funny Allison should ask this because I had a gentleman in my store not a week ago who asked exactly the same question.
Yeah.
But
wasn't he husband, was
looking
was
he was looking at secondhand monitors because he didn't have the budget to fork out for a flash new monitor.
Mm.
And he just literally said, "What do you use?" And I said, "Well, I'm looking right now at a Philips monitor. Philips,
okay.
That's right. Philips, who made TVs for years when we were kids.
Mm.
and shavers.
Shave now, mate. Monitors.
This is a Philips 27 inch monitor that I've got in front of me. I love it. I think it's brilliant. The colors are good. I'm happy with it, but I do keep it calibrated. So
yes, that's the secret though, isn't it?
More than anything, that's the secret, is to spend, you know, $300-$400 on a 27 inch monitor, and then spend another $150-$200 on a half decent calibrator.
Yeah.
And then Allison, your photos will look great forevermore. You won't get eye strain from looking at a 14 inch monitor.
No, you won't.
Yeah, I love having this monitor here in my office. And this is where I edit 99% of the time. I do, I've actually just recently upgraded my laptop, and I use a Windows-based system. I don't use Macs at all. And I think the laptop I bought might be a HP. It's a touchscreen, which I really like.
The HP quick editing, do good screens as well. HP.
They do, I've got HP monitors at work. I've also got, I've got lots of different monitors, but mainly the bigger computer brands, I don't mind them at all. Yes, if you're a professional and you're editing a lot and it's your job to edit photos, hello, ISO all day of the week. Go and get yourself an ISO monitor. Get yourself an Apple Mac monitor if you want to. Because it's your job to have 100% color accuracy.
Yeah.
People get hung up on color. And it gets out of hand. I find, generally speaking, if I've got a monitor that's getting me within 4 to 5% color accuracy, I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
Particularly if I'm not paying $3,500 for it.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
Don't fall for the big branding and you've got to have this if you're, you know, if you're serious about photography, you've got to have that, blah, blah. This is one area where you can probably cut back a little bit on your budget, but get yourself a decent calibrator and keep the thing calibrated. Look, you know, you might replace a monitor, you know, a $400-$500 monitor, you might replace it every 7 or 8 years if you keep it calibrated. So I think that's a small price to pay, you know, for a half decent monitor. Steer clear of your really cheapy ones that you find on sale at Officeworks for $150. They're just not going to cut it. Not going to have the resolution, not going to have the color. It's all about the color, right? So
that is.
A budget of say $400 to $500 for a 27 inch monitor is healthy. I think that's a good budget.
Yeah.
Or
just having a look online.
Samsung
here.
Make fantastic monitors, for goodness sake. So
yeah, there's quite a few. The ones that you're sort of talking about, you'd be looking at somewhere maybe at the ASUS brand.
Yes.
Or Dell. Dell seem to have a few 27 inch monitors.
My experience with Dell isn't great. My experience with ASUS is very good.
Very good.
So, and that's just my experience. So,
and next level up, you're sort of looking around at like the $1,000 to $1,200 mark.
Yep.
That's where you start getting the BenQ monitors, which are like what I've got. I'd be happy to recommend them. And then you start getting up into Apple's, which are $2,500.
Yeah.
Would you say, I don't think we definitely need 27 inch. Like there's 23 inches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like you don't need, 27 inch is quite big, but.
Let's go by what you said before, and that is about splitting windows. So right now, as I'm talking to you, I've got our Zoom window open over here. I've got our show notes open over here. I've got a room down on the right-hand side if I want to look anything up. It's great having this amount of real estate, I think, when you're working with editing your photos. Now, particularly when, because I edit this show and I use Premiere Pro to do it. And so to have, you know, 3 or 4 different windows open.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what it's really good for, particularly for people learning photography. You can have Photoshop open there and you can have a YouTube tutorial open right there. And it's all in front of you and you can follow it, you know, on a bigger screen.
Yeah.
I'm a massive rap for a 27 inch monitor for sure. Okay.
Yeah.
A desktop monitor.
Yeah, I'd be the same as well. I wouldn't probably go back from a 27 inch now. It, like you said, does give you some good real estate and you can have a couple of things going at the same time. And so yeah, anyway, I think Allison, I think just go to Hubby and say, look, just give me $1,000.
That's right.
And you either buy a couple of monitors or a really good, really good one.
That's right. No, I like it.
Yeah.
If you have a question for Cam or myself, send it into Dear Cam. You can hit us up through Facebook. You can email us. You can contact us and on the link, and everything's linked below. Go to dsps.com.au, why don't you? Jump on there, have a look at or some of the older episodes are all there. All our workshops are there. And you, if you wanted to, can buy us a beer. Who are our beer donators this week, Cam?
So polished these days. It's getting a bit too polished, Brendan. We need to make more mistakes.
We need to make it a bit shitty.
We need to make it shitty. We do. We need to make some bigger mistakes, and we need to have a malfunction of some sort.
Speaking of malfunctions,
hey, you like that one? Malfunction bought us a beer. I mean, Mallory. No, Mel.
Thanks, Mel. Legend.
Thanks, Mel. There was a post on comment today, and I said we're grumpy because we haven't got enough beer, and he's actually gone and bought some beer today for us as well.
Yes, I think I might have said thirsty.
Thirsty. But this is probably one of our biggest weeks. We've had two slabs bought for us.
Which is, yeah. Thank you. We're humbled by people who buy us a slab of beer.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
I will send you a slab. But that was Francis and Kerry both bought us a slab. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
I will get you a slab to your house as soon as we possibly can.
Well, I'll be seeing you in a couple of days. Let's just get one then.
Well, I've got one down here already, ready to go.
Can't exactly bring it home.
No, you can't. But it'd be nice to have one waiting for you at home as well, wouldn't it?
It's yes. I got one recently, if you may recall, which is...
you should be finished that by now.
I haven't even got near it.
Oh, what?
Well, you know, I had... I had my golf day, so there's always beer left over after that. So, right. So what is coming up? Well, I think we know what's coming up, Cam. And I will be together for a week, which will be great. Looking real, as I said earlier, looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing more of your wonderful state and showing people how to photograph it.
Yeah, I think you're going to really like the Tarkana. It's got a lot to do and a lot to see, and looks like the weather's going to play fairly nice for us as well.
Yeah. Well, you've referenced myself as a coastal photographer before, and I think that pretty much fits. And the Tarkine is known for its coastal areas, so I'm quite looking forward to getting my feet wet, figuratively and literally, in your state.
Yeah, don't fall off where we're going.
Okay,
it's not as smooth as your coastline. This one, it's got a few jaggedy points, but yeah, it should be fun. And then off to Cradle for a few days as well. So yeah, it should be very good. So.
Nice. Very good. All right. So anything else to add for this week, Cameron?
No, I don't think so. How's your dog going? Good.
Buddy is a ripper.
He's going all right.
He's going very well. He has so far destroyed 5 plants, I think.
Good, good.
And the better half really doesn't like Buddy destroying the plants, but he is a puppy, and it was all part of the process of...
And she was part of the agreement to bring absolutely. Him there. So.
Well, when I say he's a puppy, he's 1 year old, but he's a chocolate Labrador, so he'll grow up in about 5 years' time. So,
yeah, right.
He's great. He's going to be a good addition to the Waits family for sure. So Buddy says hello.
Good. Excellent. That's it, really, I think.
Nice. You want to do the outro?
No, I was just about to start going on, and I thought you can do
it. I thought you were too. Here he goes. He's going to do an outro. This is good.
No, it's good for you,
Cameron.
You do. I'm just here for the side remarks. I'm here for the side remarks. You're the man of the show. You know that.
This has been episode 118 of the Down South Photo Show. We look forward to talking to you and looking at you for episode 119. We will see you in a week, maybe 2 weeks. Who knows? Bye for now.
I can't say toodaloo, can I? See ya.
No.
Bye.
See you. Bye.
Bye.